Welcome to Hype, episode 76. Oh my god, as much as turned on now. My name is Selena, and I'm joined by Pam and Kyle. And literally, just before we started recording, the trailer for Captain America Civil War broke. It was released on Twitter, and we record Tuesday nights. Oh, on Twitter, I mean Jimmy Kimmel. That's a random thing to get wrong. Anyway, it's because I'm too excited, guys. It's just too much.
Because it's the first time that anything's ever happened right before we were
recording. I know. With our luck, it's amazing it didn't happen right after we stopped. Marima is not here today, and she is so sad. There was already some big stories she wanted to talk about, and she's going to be sending in her reaction to the trailer, so I'll put that in somewhere in the show. But we're going to watch the trailer live here at the top of the show because we are just too excited and we can't wait. I've been getting messages from Pam and Kyle just urging me to get on the recording so we can start. And that's going to be super fun. And then after that, we're going to go into talking a little bit about Civil War because it is the big story. And if you, for some reason, have no interest in Civil War, I'm super sorry. We'll put in the time code. You can skip to the regular How We Hype and we'll get into the regular show after that. This feels like maybe way more important than it is. I don't know. We haven't even seen it. It might be terrible, but we'll see. This is part of the fun.
It's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be great. Yeah.
And it's gonna be great.
Oh my god, Bucky. Ah! But before we do that, see, we are fans of stuff. This pretty much proves it. I just wanted to tell you about the contact information, as I always do, so you can leave your own comments about all things that are hyped up in entertainment news, not just the Civil War trailer. Let's get real. That's gonna what's going to be occupying people for the next couple of days. You can, of course, find us on hypable.com, which is hypable.com. If you go to little plus in the corner, you can find a link to the podcast and you can leave us comments on there. You can also find us on Twitter at HypeableHype, and you can find us on Instagram at HypeableHype. And you know, if you do want to tag us in your trailer reaction videos, then that would be totally cool with us because we would love to see them. We should do like a little audio segment next week of people just going like, wah! And like crying. It would be amazing.
Okay. We're the only ones.
We might be the only ones who will release this, and people will be like, guys, no, seriously, Captain America Civil War, it's going to be huge. It's like, that and Star Wars, guys. Oh my god. I think we can't put it off any longer. I think we need to start watching it right now. So what we're going to do is we're all going to press play at the same time. We're going to watch it, and it might be completely silent, but you'll be able to hear the glorious sounds of the trailer anyway. And I guess we'll just see what happens. So strap in for the next 2 minutes and 26 seconds of your life. Are you guys ready? I feel like I'm not ready now.
I've been ready.
Okay.
My body is...
my mouse is on the, like, my mouse is on the, like, play button, and I'm, like, so ready for it.
Selena, this is cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay, guys, let's not put it off any longer. Let's do this.
I'm not doing it yet. Hold on, because... I have to close the window because the fireworks for Disneyland are happening right now.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
That's because of the trailer, right?
Yeah, we're celebrating Civil War. And apparently R2-D2 is really excited.
Yeah, of course. I mean, duh. And it's all part of Disney now anyway, so, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Okay, so I'll count down from three. So I'll go 3, 2, 1, go.
At what?
You go and go.
On go, right?
Okay. Uh-huh. That makes more sense. Okay. Right. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, it's going. This green screen is very exciting.
Yep. Oh.
This is the best part of the trailer, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, it's Bucky.
Buck. Do you remember me?
Yes.
Your mom's name is Sarah.
Oh, my God.
You used to wear newspapers in your shoes. You're a wanted man.
I ship it.
Yes.
I don't care.
Well, the people who think you did are coming right now. They're not planning on taking you alive.
You guys. This is all about Bucky.
That logo. Yes.
Where's Stark?
While a great many people see you as a hero, there are some who prefer the word vigilante.
Vigilante.
He is not.
I thought that was like a DC trademark word.
The world can no longer tolerate.
I know how much Bucky loves you.
We do too.
Stay out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Please. You'll only make this worse.
You saying you'll arrest me?
There will be consequences.
Tumblr is gonna blow up.
You seem a little defensive. Well, it's been a long day.
Who's this guy?
Yeah, do you remember the last time they went after Captain America? Oh my god.
That's not the way I see it.
Yay!
Someone will punch you in your perfect teeth.
No, start
and
going
Falcon.
Consider all our options. Because people that shoot at you usually wind up shooting at me too.
I love this, like, bond that they have.
It's about to happen. Do you really want to punch your way out of this?
Oh my god. I just saw Scarlet Witch.
What do we do?
Oh my god! Black Panther!
Sorry, Tony.
Oh.
Who's Tommy?
You know I wouldn't do this if I had any other choice.
Oh. Tony.
But he's my friend. So was I.
I heard Tommy too.
Stop lying, you guys.
Oh my god!
Oh my god. Oh my god. Can we watch it again?
Yes, can we? Like three more times?
Oh my god.
You guys, that line that he's my friend, so was I.
I know. I have to say, I don't care that much for Iron Man.
Me neither.
But I do
but
think
I care,
that this...
You care about friendship because, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. There's so much... Oh my god, this movie is going to be all about friendship, you guys. Like, forget about the superhero fights. This
all
is like Steven Bucky and Steven Sam
Bucky.
And Steven yeah. Iron Man and Steven Natasha. Okay, someone else speak. I'm incoherent. I was not expecting that much Bucky.
I know, right?
Right.
Like, ah! Now I feel totally justified when people were like, it's still very much a Captain America film, because mm-hmm. now I see it.
Because the conflict is so personal to him.
Yeah, exactly. Because like when you're hearing about the casting news and you just hear like, oh, so-and-so is going to be in it, this person's going to be in it, you're like, all right, well, like, when is Captain America going to be in it if all these other people are? But now with the trailer, like, it's very obvious this is about his struggle with his best friend.
I have to tweet about this. I'm sorry. You can hear my tweet. I don't care.
No, you're totally right, Carl, because that was the whole situation. It's like, oh, like there's like one person after another person after another person was getting announced for this film. But if, you know, the trailer is a testament to what we're going to see, we're still going to get like more than, and I mean, is enough Steve ever really enough? You know, but for the sake of just argument's sake, you know, it's still, we're still going to have, you know, ample time with his character, which is good, because if this is like all we get, then that's all you want is like a proper.
Yeah. I want to ask you, because speaking of like not being able to have enough Steve, is I'm not sure any of us are like really comic fans, so we don't actually, all we have is hearsay, but I know we've all sort of talked about, oh, well, is this is the last Captain America film. Does this mean that Steve is going to die? And if he does, I know it's horrible to even think about, but if he does, would it be Falcon or Winter Soldier who picked up the shield? And until this trailer, I was convinced if it was anyone, it would have to be Falcon, Sam, because Bucky is like so damaged and he couldn't remember who he was and all that. But now seeing how prominent he is in this trailer and seeing how everything Steve does is for him, like if it does end up where we don't want it to end up, I could see that sort of him passing on the legacy of Captain America, you know what I mean? Which would just break my heart.
It would also be like a very beautiful moment for Bucky, though. Like, it would kill me because I feel like Steve never really truly gets a happy ending or the happy ending that he wants, which is why it's like his story is so tragic. But I think that because Bucky has been through so much, to pass the shield on to him would mean that he has really kind of survived the whole ordeal that he was put through. And that would be really nice.
It's funny because I just got a DM. Actually, we're talking about this, like, la la la, spoilers, what are those? I just got a DM from someone, Carlos, who follows us on Twitter, who said, you know, I wouldn't DM you, but I hate to spoil it because after watching the Civil War trailer, I get the feeling that Steve dies and Bucky takes over. And that's like, that was just funny because it just came in. That's exactly what we were saying. But I don't feel like this is a spoiler because we don't actually know. And what happens in the comic books is common knowledge to such an extent that we have to think, well, what are they going to use in the movie? What aren't they going to use in the movie? You know what I mean?
I mean, there are instances, and I feel like I don't really know too much about a lot of the Marvel superheroes. I know a little bit just because, you know, I grew up watching the cartoons, like the 80s, 90s cartoons with my brothers.
Yeah.
and stuff.
And Captain America would never die in those.
No, but every once in a while, like, they get these little things right, which is so weird. And like, you notice it now because, like, you're older. You're like, oh, yeah, I do remember that. But at the same time, I kind of feel like Marvel, you know, is very similar maybe to The Walking Dead in the sense that usually the characters get to where they need to go, but they don't necessarily always follow it to the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of really decide, like it, like you said, it's like, is it really a spoiler if we don't really know exactly what they're going to do? It's just like one avenue that they could take with the character.
I do want to say, whatever happens, I will be devastated if they kill off Captain America, because I feel like his presence in the movies, I mean, you guys know I've had my struggles to get into the Marvel universe, and it really wasn't until I rewatched the Captain America films that I began to get a sense of, okay, here's a character that I really feel for, and here's a, you know, that friendship between Bucky and Steve and the whole Steve and Peggy thing, here are some dynamics that I can really get behind. And I would really hate for them to also, because Chris Evans, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, he is amazing, and having the Marvel Cinematic Universe continue even with Sebastian Stan in a prominent role, I feel like they would really lose something that makes this universe special. At the same time, you know, it's war. People die. They want to shock people. They want to usher in a new era of Avengers. But I feel like even if that happens and we leave the theater just devastated, this is going to be a good movie. Like, this looks like an amazing movie. And it's all about Bucky and Steve's friendship. And, like, I think that's what everyone wants, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
Except for, like, the Tony fans. I just saw on Twitter, Karen is like, hello, Team Tony.
Yeah, it's like I was looking because I wasn't allowed to watch the, you know, the trailer. Since we weren't allowed to watch the trailer, I was scrolling through Robert Downey Jr.'s Twitter account, like, earlier today.
Yeah.
And he plays up to that fact, too. Like, there's, like, he just tweeted this gif of, like, what's his face? Chris Evans. I want to call him, like, Steve Rogers. It's Chris Evans, like, saying, like, thanks, superheroes, and never say, like, Captain America and Iron Man moved to New York to get married. Aww. And then Rob Downey just is, like, retweeting it, being like, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me, Chris. And I love it. I love that's that, funny. You know, just everybody that's on the Marvel team.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of buys into the frenzy of the fandom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Understands that that's important to, you know, some people, and other people don't see it that way. But if you do, it's all good.
I love the fact that Steve and Bucky's friendship is the central part of this. I just love it so much. I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's so cool. Scarlet Witch was in there. The Steve and Natasha dynamic is going to be great. I think we glimpsed Black Panther in there for like a hot second, and that was amazing. And we still have some surprises left, because as we noticed, you know, there was no Spider-Man, there was no Sharon Carter. I don't know how big of a role she's going to be. She wasn't in it.
I mean, Martin Freeman is supposed to be in this too at some point. Mm-hmm. So,
Chris Evans is going to be in it.
What? Oh,
Chris Evans. Mark Ruffalo is not going to be in this, because there was this whole big to-do about how the Hulk wouldn't be.
Vision is going to be in it. Yeah. Paul Bettany?
Perhaps.
I'm going to look this up.
Because
I don't want to be wrong. Yeah, he's in it. He's in it. We were right. We don't have to cut this out. Phew. Right? It would be embarrassing for no one. Okay, so that was amazing. Kyle, do you have any other last thoughts? We can always get back to this later if we think of something.
Steve looked really hot.
Oh my God, yes.
Sorry.
I'm glad that you said that, because you know, we got that in there without it being super. Yeah. Yeah. And oh my God. Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm just not too excited. He's so attractive. Okay. So now that that's sorted, I think we should move into how we hype. It's really hard because we've just hyped like.
And we've hyped too hard. More.
Yeah, we're coming down from the hype now. So I noticed, Kyle, that you have, staying in the Marvelverse, because what else is there? You have Jessica Jones in your How We Hype, and yes. I think that's fine. I mean, it is a TV show, but it's also like an event. So I guess we can start by talking about that, because I know we've all watched at least part of it.
Because for a TV show, I'm going to talk about Doctor Who with you.
Okay, great.
For Jessica Jones, I just started it a couple nights ago. And it's amazing. It's really great. And
I mean, it's not a Civil War trailer, but yeah. What is?
But it's really quite fun. And being the Marvel noob that I am, and being introduced to these heroes through TV shows and movies, like, I like it a lot, because I get to be introduced to them in a completely different way than all these like superhero comic book fans are.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to talk about it because today Hero Hype actually recorded their special about Jessica Jones, and that should be out in like a couple of days or so. And I really wanted to be on it, but I'm only on episode 8. So I couldn't, like, I still had like 3 or 4 more episodes left.
Is there 12 or 13 episodes?
There's 12, right. I think, yeah. And so anyone who is debating on starting it, even if you haven't seen Daredevil, I definitely think you should watch it because it's really cool. And the actress who plays Jessica Jones, I never thought, like, when they cast her, I never thought that she could be, like, a super serious, super, like, heroic superhero girl because she was in that TV show called The Bean Apartment 23. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
Yeah, with James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. She was the main girl in it, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I mean, she's also in Gilmore Girls. Kristen Ritter's been around for a while, but you're right. She's kind of like always the bridesmaid, never the bride in these bigger shows.
Yeah,
so it
exactly.
is really cool to see her kind of spread her wings, especially in terms of like dramatic acting, because all of those kind of had more of a comedic element. So,
yeah.
Very good point.
Great surprise seeing her pull this off so well. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious what you guys think, if you've seen Daredevil, how it compares, because, well, I'll ask, how does it compare?
I felt like I was watching the same show.
Okay.
I'm not even lying. I feel like I could probably do an episode of Daredevil followed by an episode of Jessica Jones and think it's the same thing, because the style, the cinematography of it is like almost exactly the same. The mood is the same. It's the same Hell's Kitchen area. Her office looks like his same office. It was just like there's so many different things about it that looked similar. So I think it's great. And if they plan on doing this with all of their Marvel TV shows so that when they come together, it's a more cohesive look, I definitely approve, for sure.
I have a thing with these shows where I don't think I get the hype of them quite as much as people more entrenched in the fandom, because I'm not sure what it is. Like, I have seen 6 episodes, and I like it so far, but I'm not, like, blown away. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, this is like above and beyond other TV, or this is like something really special. Like, I feel like Kristen Ritter's great as Jessica Jones. The mystery is okay. I'm not really getting I get it because they're telling us and they're showing us how bad Kilgrave is, but I'm not getting the urgency because she just kind of follows him around. I like Trish a lot. And I like Luke Cage. I think he's super attractive and also awesome in that order. That, like, the discount Steve Rogers that they have running around is pretty interesting too. But I mean, to me, it's a show. And I'm not really getting much more out of it than, well, yeah, it's fun to watch it. And I can tweet a little bit at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it might be unpopular opinion, yeah. But...
No, I wonder if it's just because the stuff gets so overhyped, you know, it's like everybody gets so excited about it. And so you're expecting like groundbreaking storytelling and then maybe you're disappointed because it's not what you were hoping it would be, but not in a bad way.
You're totally right. But I also think it's an issue of people say, sometimes they say that things are groundbreaking in their portrayal of women or in their portrayal of characters or whatever. And I'm always stuck a little bit like, well, not really. Hmm. Jessica Jones and its female characters are good, but they're not the best female characters I've ever seen on TV. You know, and I always come back to comparing it to a show like The 100, which is sort of quietly doing all this stuff on the side and doesn't get the prestige necessarily of a show like this. I'm coming across like overly negative, but I sort of, it's good, but I don't think I can judge it one way or another completely until I've watched it all.
I mean, that I guess I could resonate with that a little bit because it's, you know, sometimes you have those series, like I think for like Master of None is like, you cannot compare the two. But with Master of None, I found myself like unable to walk away until I had finished the whole series. And with Jessica Jones, I'm like very content with being allowed to take my time, not necessarily because like the subject matter is triggering for me. I know it could be for some people. I know there's a lot of talk about that, but just because I feel like I could take my time with it and I don't have to like rush through it because I'm not like dying to keep watching it. It's like, it's kind of like it's a very similar effect to what I had when I read Outlander for the first time back in like 2006 or so. Mm-hmm. It's that like the book was good and I was enjoying it, but I could also set it down and walk away and like do this or that. Like it wasn't like painful to leave it, you know, for a bit. Yeah. I don't know if that's like neither here nor there, but I guess in comparison to other things, like it, like that kind of feeds into the whole like excitement thing that you're talking about a bit, like how you're enjoying it, but it's not like super, super like, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
But so. Yeah. And that said, I mean, it is a very enjoyable show and it's a very sort of tough, they deal with some tough subject matters and I really appreciate that. But I guess we'll talk more about that next week too, when we've all maybe seen it all and Merrimess back to talk about it too. And you have another hype thing that isn't the Civil War trailer. We shouldn't have started with this. I'm too distracted. Yeah, you do.
Me. Yes. Yeah, I know. In comparison, this is going to be so lackluster. But let's not forget that Adele released an amazing album last Friday. So everybody's kind of had time to listen to it and weep silently into their pints of ice cream or glasses of wine and things like that. And yeah, I just I wanted to bring this up in Howie Hype because I've definitely been listening to that and have just been really enjoying it. And also, I know last week we talked a little bit about how like I was very like so-so about Hello. Mm-hmm. And I think that was, I didn't say it at the time.
You're less like Hello and more like Hello?
Yeah, Hello, okay. But I think it was because I knew that it was not going to be the best song on that album. And I was like, Adele, like, you are such a smart woman. Like, I know what you're doing. You want everybody to be excited. Then you're just going to blow everybody away with everything else that's on there. And that's pretty much exactly what she did.
This album is so good.
It's so, so good. And you know what's so funny is I was like, I was watching her interview with Jimmy Fallon and she was saying that she was working with Rick Rubin, who's this big famous producer. He's done everything from like Run DMC to Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he's just so, so awesome. And she brought him all these songs and he was like, well, this is great, but I don't feel it when you're singing. Like, I don't feel anything. And she was like, oh. And he said, it's not bad. It just, I don't feel it. And so she scrapped all those songs and ended up making what is 25. And I don't even know what she could have brought him, but I can't imagine anything, you know, that Adele would bring that would do that. So it's actually kind of cool that she ended up with this.
That's amazing.
Yeah. With this selection of songs for everybody. But I wanted to like ask you guys if you had listened to it and like what your favorite tracks were. But before I do that, I just want to say that so far, I think my favorites are Water Under the Bridge and All I Ask. And All I Ask is probably the most heart-wrenching song I've heard in the last 5 years. So I'm just going to put that out there right now. Yeah.
I've been listening to this album nonstop and I have a couple of favorites. I have three favorites. No, two favorites? I can't tell. I just love
it. It's hard.
It's so great. Okay, I'll tell you for sure what I love the most. The two songs that I love are Send My Love and Water Under the Bridge. Also, yeah. When We Were Young, I loved When We Were Young. And River Leia. And Sweetest Devotion is also up there. Can I just say the whole album?
Yeah, like, the whole album.
The ones that I mentioned in specifically are the ones I've been playing on repeat.
Okay, well, that's awesome. And you wanted to talk about the records as well, right?
Yeah. So Adele was like, F you, Spotify and Apple Music and everybody else that streams things, including Tidal, because I'm not going to let you guys stream my song. So everybody was forced to go out and buy this album, as you should, with, you know, a cohesive record. It's always kind of nice when people take the time to do that, especially since you've, you know, somebody like her, she's worked like 4 years for this. So now she's officially broken the record set by NSYNC because she sold 2.5 million copies in the first week.
So it's like, you know, the hello to bye is kind of ironic.
Yeah, and NSYNC has held the record since like 2001 when No Strings Attached came out. And so really big week for Adele. And she's just kind of killing it with the press for this album. And it's very well deserved. So hope you guys are enjoying that too, because Kyle and I are loving it.
I'm still writing about Civil War. I'm sorry. I'm going to be with you guys right in a minute.
It's fine. I'll talk. I just want to say briefly that SNL, when Adele performed on SNL this week, SNL actually released the raw microphone audio from Adele's performance of Hello. And so you can hear like the direct audio of her singing. And oh my God, her vocals were perfect. Like, they're so good. Like, ah! So,
like, not like that.
Well, like, because, like, SNL, like, you know, a lot of people on SNL don't actually, like, sing, and a lot of performers just kind of lip sync in general, but, like, hearing Adele's vocals, she sounded just as good as the recording on her album. Mm-hmm. So, you guys should take a listen to that if you haven't.
Sounds great. We do have to move on because that Civil War trailer sent us back a little bit. We want to make our time limit if possible. So we're going to go into the first story of the normal news. Going from one extremely exciting franchise to another, it's not Star Wars, but it's Fantastic Beasts, which may have become slightly less exciting after this news story. Actually, funnily enough, this past week was the anniversary of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the movie. So, of course, naturally, we did an article about how ridiculous that movie was. Because looking back on the Harry Potter movies, there are a lot of moments that don't really hold up that fantastically. So we posted this article. I did it. I thought it was really funny because I think I'm hilarious. And luckily so did some other people. Then like a day or two later, David Heyman, who is going to be producing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, said that in tone, Fantastic Beasts will be most similar to Goblet of Fire out of all the Harry Potter movies. He says, Fantastic Beasts has got the charm of the fourth. It's like the fourth. Mike Newell talked about the fourth as being like an Indian musical. Yeah, makes sense. And it's not that, but it's got the humor of that film. It has the romantic comedy, that fish out of water humor, that very human, natural character comedy. And now David is always, that's David Yates, the director, is always looking for truthful human moments. It's never just a gag. He's grounding the storytelling moment in reality. Beast is very funny. It's got a big heart, and there's darkness too. Oh my god, guys. I don't want these to be anything like the Harry Potter movies.
Okay, I'm going to try to defend him. Do you mind? Is that okay?
No, please do.
So, people are really upset because people are like, oh, then it was terrible, it was horrible, blah, 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 like, because they don't like Goblet of Fire, but I don't think that's what he meant. And like, what he meant is that the balance of comedy versus drama is what he means. I don't think he means specifically. Like the tone or anything. I think he's like trying to tell you that like it's going to be a fun movie and like you're going to have a lot of moments where you're going to laugh, like the moment where like Ron had to try to dance with McGonagall. That was a funny scene in the movie. Whereas, of course, Cedric died in the movie as well. So
it was hilarious.
So I think it's just going to... He's just trying to say that there's a huge balance of funny and dramatic. So
I think you're right. I think he's saying this is not going to be a Bollywood imitation, so don't worry. It's going to be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, and people are... But, like, people are taking his comments and, like, just almost taking it too literally.
Yeah.
And,
I think you're right.
When I saw the headline, the very first thing I thought was, oh, so is Fantastic Beasts going to have a blue hue to it as well?
Hey, Newt's going to go into New York and go, I love magic.
Yeah. Right? So, no, I think I know what he means, and it makes me more excited. Because
well, that's good to know.
I like it.
Great. And the next story is also exciting in its own way.
It's great, actually. So, do you guys remember that one little sequel or that one little reboot that happened earlier this year called Fantastic Four? Did you?
I was hoping I could block it from memory, but
oh, yeah. Well, apparently so is Fox. So Fox is actually it's a report, so it's not like news, but it's reported that Fox has removed the sequel to the reboot of Fantastic Four from their new slate of 2017 films, and they're actually going to be replacing it with a new film called Murder of the Orient Express. We still don't know if this is like fact yet because Fox hasn't really made a comment on it, but it would make sense because Fantastic Four was the lowest rated superhero film almost of like all time. I think it was crazy. It did horribly. So I'm happy. I'm glad that Fox saw where they went wrong. They're like, okay, never mind. Adios.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, especially with the rumors that were debunked that Marvel was looking to take over the Fantastic Four franchise and give it yet another shot. So, I mean, that could have something to do with it as well, although, again, that was denied. It's just really nice that they are not plowing ahead with this. I think they had to say that they were doing another one for posterity and just to save face. And they were clearly hoping that just by removing it quietly, it would sort of fall off the radar because it was such a flop.
I won't even talk about how much of a flop it was because, like, I have so many comments about it in my head, but I'm just happy that it's not going forward. And if Marvel does decide to take over, they're going to need to wait at least 5 to 10 years so that the public can get the bad taste out of their mouth.
Yeah. Anything else to say about that?
No, but I'm really, really excited about this other story.
I was going to say, I felt like in my bones, I knew you were going to be just as excited about this as I am.
Oh, yeah.
90s kids rejoice because Hey Arnold is coming back to TV for a special movie, Thingamabob, that Nickelodeon is putting into works. And the exciting thing is that the original Hey Arnold creator is coming back to executive produce and to write this movie, which is set to pick up where the TV cartoon series left off back in 2004. So it sounds like we're finally going to get some answers as to things like where Arnold's parents are and all that good stuff. Maybe we'll find out if Helga ever gets her happily ever after with Arnold. She's been pining for him for all these years. The possibilities are endless. So this is just really exciting if you grew up watching this cartoon. It's also really cool because, in this report that was originally written up by Variety, they said that they're also, of course, looking to tap into a new audience that has never come into contact with Hey Arnold before. So it's going to be fun for people that, like, obviously, like us, like, maybe grew up watching the cartoon, but it's also going to be cool for, like, the younger generation to kind of get into the older cartoons that we grew up loving as well. So it sounds like it's going to be really fun, and it's also a possibility that this could open up the doors for other cartoons to come back, like, make a resurgence. So things like Clarissa Explains It All was not a cartoon, but it was a beloved 90s Nick show. The Rugrats, Wild Thornberrys, things like that. So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to see how this goes, and hopefully it's still as entertaining as the cartoon was, because I remember this being one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing the episode, I think, and I don't remember if it was Helga's dream or not, but I'm pretty certain it wasn't. I remember seeing the episode where Helga kissed Arnold for the first time, and, like, the network made a huge deal of it, and I made a huge deal of it, and it was basically like the Ross and Rachel for, like, kids back then. Yeah. And oh my gosh. Yeah. It was great. And I just want to say, I'm reading this article, and for anyone who didn't know, I really just want to say this on the podcast, but apparently Nick wrote a 2-part finale way back when, and it actually explains, like, because Arnold finds his dad's journal, and for those of you who don't know, his dad and his mom died. And
is this?
I know. He finds his dad's journal, and it tells him the story of how his parents met and how they got Abner, his pet pig, and all about Arnold's birth and why they went on their last trip, which is the one that they died on, which is like, oh my God. And so I really hope they bring that into the new movie, because that would be amazing.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Sorry, I talk way too much.
This is a podcast. It's kind of the point. It'd be funny if we all just shut up. Like, no, you talk. No, you talk. So the next story is, I'm going to talk for this one. This is a really funny sort of cathartic little moment for, I think, all of the Lord of the Rings fans who watched The Hobbit and went, I really want to like this. Why don't I like this as much as I want to? Peter Jackson basically came out, because the extended edition DVDs for the final movie in the Hobbit trilogy, Battle of the Five Armies, just came out. And sort of in related to that, there was an interview with Joss Whedon, that's not his name, Peter Jackson, where he basically explained the process of taking over from Guillermo del Toro at the 11th hour before production was set to begin, and kind of making a bit of it up as he went along. He explained, because Guillermo del Toro had to leave and I jumped in and took over, we didn't wind the clock back a year and a half and give me a year and a half prep to design the movie, which was different to what he was doing. It was impossible, and as a result of it being impossible, I just started shooting the movie with most of it not prepped at all. So clearly this is mainly a style thing, maybe more than it is a script thing, although he did also say that there were parts of the scripts that weren't finished yet and that he wasn't happy with it. He said, you know, we hadn't gotten the scripts written to our satisfaction. So, you know, when you're working on a project, and I'm comparing this like I understand, but let's just pretend that we understand. You're working on a project and you have to, like, you have a deadline and you really think if you can just polish it up, it's going to be amazing, but you have to deliver the slightly unfinished product because you have to get it done. And I don't know if he, I mean, obviously he's saying this partly because of the reaction that the movie has had, but I think it's also an acknowledgement of the fact that, yeah, this is not Lord of the Rings, and this was not as epic as it could have been. And, like, they made a movie, and it was a fine movie, and it certainly has its supporters. Hello, Kate Killey, if you're listening. But it didn't have that timeless, beautiful, real quality that the Lord of the Rings had, which is ultimately why I think it's probably my favorite movie series of all time, because it does capture the realism of this world, because every single person involved believes in what they're doing, where, you know, Hobbit is slightly more cartoony and slightly more like slapstick comedy. And I like this interview. I think it explains a lot, and I mean I have total respect for Peter Jackson. He was put in a tough situation, and we sort of knew that from the get-go, and we were expecting a miracle, and that maybe wasn't fair. I don't know if you guys are fans, if you have opinions on this.
I'm not like I'm glad Merima isn't here, because she'd probably kill me, but I'm not like the biggest Lord of the Rings.
What?
No, but like, when I read the headline, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense, because the movie's very, like, for me. But that's basically the extent of what my opinion is on this.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. When we can ask our listeners what they think about it. I think it wraps it up very nicely. It ties a bow on it and says, okay, it wasn't perfect, but this is why. Speaking of tying a bow on things, these transitions make themselves today.
They're great. So Mockingjay Part 2 was just released last weekend, and it opened with really, really low numbers. Actually, it's the lowest opening numbers of the entire series, of the entire franchise. So it pulled in $101 million, which you guys might be thinking, like, that's a lot of money. And for us, yes, it is quite indeed a lot of money. But when you compare it to the fact that the first Hunger Games movie made $152 million during its opening weekend, then you compare it to $101 million, it, like, decreased a lot. It goes with the point that I made in the special, on the hype special, that I think this movie was severely less, like, the public was severely less interested in it than all the previous ones. Like, because I remember, I think, like, Pam and I were talking about how when we went to see it, there was, like, barely any line, and the audience, like, the theater was not full at all. So, like, I almost could have, like, predicted that it would have done this badly at the box office, just because no one was there. It wasn't filling up the seats as the rest was. I was going to say,
it's funny because, like, my theater was full, but the thing I thought was odd was that we didn't buy our tickets in advance. Like, we didn't feel like we needed to. And we just, like, walked up, like, 5 minutes before the show started and bought tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people ended up doing that maybe because it was the big movie in the box office that week, but there were no roped off lines or anything like that, like you've seen in the past, which is what I thought was very odd.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And I think, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people weren't as excited as this, you know. This is the part where you stand and fall with the extremely, like, you have to have the fans of the series share their excitement. And despite the fact that we had Merima sharing our excitement, and she, you know, isn't here right now. So I think, you know, a lot of fans who've read the books just weren't that excited about the final film. And it's not even all the people that have read the books that are going to go see the film. So the excitement level and the hype for this franchise is going to drop when you get to the end. Whereas for Harry Potter, it was very different because everyone was excited for the big battle and the big conclusion and to see how it all wrapped up, you know?
Well, but there's also a huge difference in the time where Harry Potter finale came out and the Mockingjay finale came out. Like, back when Harry Potter came out, there were no, like, 8 o'clock screenings the Thursday before.
Yeah, true.
You know? Very true. And, like, I feel like just the fact that theaters are changing the way that they're premiering movies is having a huge effect on movie premieres now, especially for fandom movie premieres where everyone used to line up. Like, I really want to write an article about it.
Yeah,
because
you should.
It's changed so drastically ever since they decided to be like, oh, 7 p.m. on a Thursday, do it, even though it doesn't come out on Friday.
So the next story Gal Gadot tweeted the first image from the Wonder Woman film. She had put the quote, almost 75 years in the making, Wonder Woman is underway. And I was going to make like a fancy title joke because this is hype 75. So I was like, ooh, we'll make the title Wonder Woman theme. Yeah, right. It's going to be a civil war. Civil Wonder War. I don't know. There's no way. Sorry, Gal Gadot. Yeah, so this is this picture is nice. It's had some criticism because she's kind of like flirting with the camera a little bit as opposed to looking fierce like she does in the Batman v Superman films. But I think...
Is that really something people are... saying?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, she's like all soft and like, ooh, hello. And that's, you know, not what we want Wonder Woman to be. But I do think what I love about this, and this is the same as Merrima would have said if she was here, is that this is just more proof that this movie is really happening. It's not another Captain Marvel. This is really going ahead.
That's not how I saw it at all. I saw it as like her like kind of revealing back. Like, I feel like the action shot of this poster would be turning her hood down and like revealing herself. So I thought it was like, yeah, I'm Wonder Woman. Look at me. Like, that's how I thought.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, it could be that.
And I just one nitpicky thing about this poster is that her hair, like, someone should have photoshopped her hair away from her neck. 'Cause it looks like a tattoo that's on her neck. And like, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
'Cause I was like, what is going on there? And I had to look very closely to see that it's just a bunch of wild hair. So that's just my little nitpick about it.
And well, speaking of wild hair, I'm sorry, I'm done.
That's the perfect position. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. So pretty much, you guys, HBO lies and they threw the entire Game of Thrones fandom for a loop because they released the first poster for season 6 of Game of Thrones. And who was on it but none other than Jon Snow, who was supposed to be dead as dead as dead. But clearly he's not. The poster kind of features this Jon Snow shrouded in partial shadows. And then there's a lot of blood splattered across his face. So probably not as dead as we once thought, despite the season finale last year. But I guess we're all going to have to wait till April, because that's when the show comes back on TV to find out exactly what his role is going to be next season. But it looks like he'll be there.
And like, for anyone thinking like, no, he's dead, like they just put him on there because he's like really hyped up right now. Yeah, season 2 they didn't have Ned Stark on the poster after Ned died on season 1, so pretty sure he's alive.
Yeah, well, yeah. Or they're just going to drag his corpse around, just like, we told you he was dead, ha ha, and like, look at the camera, The Office style. Yeah, but fun. I mean, there's really no surprise, in my opinion. Well, Game of Thrones is in my bad books.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why, but I'll find out later, because
I'm keeping silent out of protest.
Okay, all right. I'll talk to you about it later.
I'll send Bucky on them.
Okay. Well, speaking of medieval, like, fantasy shows, our transitions are on point tonight.
Yes.
Season 2 trailer for Gallivant has just released this week, and I think the two most excited people on Hypeable are me and Danya. We're, like, super stoked about the show because, like, we're in love with it. Season 1 was hysterical, and also everyone was completely surprised when Gallivant announced that it was going to be season 2, because it kind of like, it was dead in the water for months. It premiered in January. It was like a 3-week event where they had 2 episodes a week for 3 weeks, and then nothing. No talk about it. None of the actors talked about it. Nothing. And then when ABC announced all their renewals, Gallivant was like on the top of the list. We're like, oh, okay, so that's a thing that's happening. And it looks just as good as the first season. Alan Menken is returning to compose and create the music for season 2. And if you haven't seen season 1, you have to go watch it, because it's campy and ridiculous and hysterical. And if you're a fan of musical theater, you are going to love Gallivant.
Awesome. And The 100 is back. It needs no transition.
I just started season 2. Oh my goodness.
Oh my god, you just started season 2? I thought you were done. Oh wow.
Like, yeah, I haven't watched it. Yeah, I literally watched the first episode of season 2 last night.
Okay, well, this is a good time to catch up, Kyle, because after an unbelievable amount of time that we have had to wait. The apocalypse has come and gone in the time since season 2 ended. We finally have a return date for season 3 of The 100, which is January 21st, 2016, which is so awesome because it's so much sooner than we thought. We were thinking it might wait until March. This is going to be amazing. Season 2, if you are keeping up with The 100, season 2 ended on a pretty huge note. That's going to change the show forever. And it's going to be super exciting to see where they take the show from here. If you're not watching The 100, you are missing out. I spoke a little bit about it in the beginning of the show. The 100 is the type of show that is quietly doing all the amazing things that other shows are being applauded for doing. It's female characters are unbelievably amazing. Its representation is pretty good. The storylines are unbelievable. It takes you places that you just never thought, because that's one of those shows that goes where the characters dictate, as opposed to like, okay, these are the plot points we need to hit this season. Let's shoehorn our characters around them. I think a lot like a show like Buffy, the 100 is taking the point of view, well, if the characters do this, because that's what the character would do, what would happen? And that's what makes the show amazing. So you have just under 2 months to catch up, so you should be able to do that. I think both seasons are on Netflix now, so you have no excuse. And also coming on January 21st is Legends of Tomorrow, which yes. is the next spin-off of Arrow and The Flash. And I'm still watching Arrow and The Flash. I'm not that far into Arrow season 3, but I have seen that the character prominently featured on this Legends of Tomorrow stuff just died. So, I mean, we'll see how that works out. unfortunately, spoilers are everywhere at this point, yeah. But that's fine. And I'm super excited for Legends of Tomorrow, actually, because not only does Katie Lotz, who plays Sarah Lance, who I love, is coming to the show, but Victor Garber from Alias is going to be in it. I love him. Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who.
Ah, it's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
It's going to be great. And I, if you don't mind me joining you on this news story, the originals and the Vampire Diaries, for fans of TVD and the originals, they're moving to a new night, which is really important. Like, I knew you were going to talk about it, but I really wanted to talk about it a lot because it was almost going to be a story that I was going to pick for the show. But it's a huge deal because Vampire Diaries has been on Thursdays ever since it premiered, like, 7 years ago. So the fact that it's moving to a Friday night is very indicative of its future, if you know what I mean. So it should be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. I'm excited. Our Twitter followers are super excited about that, by the way. And they all think it's going to get canceled, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
And our final two couple of stories.
Yeah, we have some news to wrap up things for you guys this week. As always, some music news. I meant to say music, and then it just ended up being news. We've been talking about news.
Finally, some news.
Anyway, we've got some music news to wrap things up for you, as always. So we're just going to run through those two stories so you guys are up to date on what's happening in music. First off, U2, of course, canceled two of their Paris shows that were set to occur on the 14th and 15th of this month due to the tragic events that happened in France. And now they have announced that they'll be coming back to play those shows for rescheduled dates on December 6th and 7th. And they were also set to broadcast one of the shows live on HBO, but of course that was canceled too in the wake of the horrific attacks that occurred on that city. And so that is actually also been rescheduled as well. So if you're interested in tuning into that, the concert on HBO is set to air on Monday, December 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's really nice that they are able to do that. And Bono, who is of course U2's frontman, also released a statement about this, saying, "So much that was taken from Paris on the tragic night of November 13th is irreplaceable. For one night, the killers took lives, took music, took peace of mind, but they couldn't steal the spirit of that city. It's a spirit our band knows well, and we'll try to serve when we return for the postponed shows on December 6th and 7th. We're going to put on our best for Paris." So that was really, really nice. And I'm sure that Paris and fans that are in that city really appreciate the band coming back and playing those shows so soon, because sometimes it takes so long for these rescheduled events to actually take place. So it's really awesome they're doing that sooner rather than later. And then this story was really exciting to me because I love both of these artists. You know, we talked about Adele earlier in this show, and so this is one last Adele story for you guys. She has admitted to being a huge fan of the rapper Drake and says that she wants to do a remix of Hotline Bling, which would be so awesome because, you know, Hotline Bling is about phone calls. Adele's Hello is about phone calls. And it just kind of sort of works. And Drake is apparently all for this too. If his Instagram is anything to go by, because he posted this really cute little cartoon that a fan did of Adele in the Hello video and then Drake himself in the Hotline Bling video with his puffy red jacket. So I know Adele is like strictly like, you know, pop and kind of like adult alternative pop, but I think it'd be really cool to hear what she would sound like guest vocaling on something like, you know, a hip hop and an R&B album. So that would be a fun little thing. And I'd be all for listening to that if that ever actually happened.
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys have seen, you have to go and find this video. It's somewhere on Tumblr. It's basically a guy discovered that Hotline Bling rips off the Nintendo themes. So he like plays Hotline Bling and then over it, they like do, 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 like that rhythm. And then the Nintendo goes do, 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 do. And it works like perfectly. And it goes into Mario and it's just, it's very like, it's very like awkward. It's like, oh crap, that's how he made that song. You guys should go check it out.
The amount of remixes for that video is insane. Like so many video edits. It's great.
So that's the news for this week. Thank you so much for staying with us even after we stopped talking about Civil War. I know it's really hard. It's so good that we're getting this out like on the day, because people will be waking up to this trailer and like they don't even know what's going to hit them. And before we end the show, we have some more segments. We have TV Show of the Week. We have listener feedback and our Hot on Hypeable segment as well. For TV Show of the Week, I don't know if Pam has anything. We already talked about Jessica Jones, but I want to bring up Doctor Who because in honor of you, Kyle, and because Laura has been saying how amazing it was, I actually caught up with Doctor Who to have something to talk about this week because I didn't know the trailer was going to happen. So I started at The Girl Who Died and I worked my way up to the finale.
Good.
Also because I really like it. I really want to see the winter, the Christmas special. Liked it a lot. I thought it was, Doctor Who has gotten darker since the last I watched. I was surprised by how many characters just died so horribly. Like, it was suffered, you know?
Yeah.
And there were, like, some sex jokes in there. I was like, whoa, you grew up, Doctor. And I think I really enjoyed Maisie Williams' character, but I don't know what to make of her. Because now I'm like, ooh, is she... Like, I know she's not evil, but every once in a while, the things she does, it's so selfish and it's so
Entire plot in that last episode. Mm-hmm.
But also that other episode, like, even though she turned at the last minute, she was still ready to, you know, she was being very sneaky and cruel about it all. So that's going to be interesting if she's going to come back, how that dynamic is going to play. Obviously, at this point, I don't think it's okay with you, Pam, that we spoil it, right?
For what? For Doctor Who?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I won't catch up.
Right. So, but anyway, it's impossible for you not to know this because, like, Clara's death was announced on social media, like, the moment it happened.
Yeah, it happened on the Doctor Who.
Oh, that.
Page.
Yeah,
like, it's so funny because, like, the Daily Mail, I think it was the Daily Mail, who had a headline like, was Clara's death too cruel and unusual? And underneath they had, spoiler alert for this article. so she died and it was kind of underwhelming. Also, because I guess what they were doing is they were showing it was because she made a mistake. You know, she was reckless with her life. And that's ultimately what got her down. But it was just so sudden. It's almost like the actress had been cast in another TV show.
Well, it's just because they've been alluding to her being dead for like three episodes.
Laura wrote that amazing article. Yeah.
Exactly. And so they've been alluding to her being dead. And so I figured that if they're going to allude to her being dead, they're going to have this huge, complicated, orchestrated thing that, like, she was like a whole episode
twist.
Just about Clara.
Yeah.
But no, there was nothing just about Clara. It was like a normal episode in which she just happened to die at the end. And it was very, I don't know. I expected her to not die. And I don't know why, like, even when the crow flew into her and she was supposed to die, I thought, like, maybe because she didn't run away from it, that she was going to survive, because someone had made a comment earlier about, like, oh, why do they always run? You know, like, so I figured, like, oh, maybe if she faces death, she'll cheat it or something.
Right.
But no, apparently not.
Apparently not. And it was, it's also because I have felt this way, and I sort of felt like, I'm glad I started watching it again, because Doctor Who is a really good show, and I do think Peter Capaldi is a fantastic doctor, and I hope they get back to the Gallifrey mystery next season. But I've had a bad sort of feeling about Clara since the beginning, because you come off the seasons with Amy and Rory and River Song, and however you felt about that, the twists and timey-wimey, the way they mess with your head, it was so well done. And the twist, like, you didn't see it coming. It was like a lost moment. River
being, he's my friend.
Okay, like, well, now everyone knows.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Edit that out.
Right. I'll put in like a bleep. I'll put in Steve saying "Bucky," and then but I feel like that sort of twist is what they were setting, because Clara was introduced just coming off of that, and she was introduced with this whole twist of like.
And there's so many mysteries.
Exactly. Like how, first of all, how she like existed throughout time. Then they kind of solved that, but she was still like a splinter Clara, and suddenly she would. You remember when she just came back, and we were all like, "Well, how did that happen?" And we were like, "They're probably gonna explain that," and they never did.
And they never did. And then like they never explained her missing years in her journal, like her age 17, I think she was. Missing or 15 or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Just and then her death, the fact that her death was so underwhelming, I feel like if it had been another character like Donna or even Rose, God forbid, who had met an end like that, it would have been more poignant. But because Clara was sort of set up as this, like, if she didn't have the mysteries, who was she? She was just a girl who traveled with the doctor. Like, that was all she was if she didn't have the mysteries. And then they gave her this underwhelming death. And, I mean, I'm just glad that the Clara thing is hopefully over, because they're going to need it. Yeah. Like, when they get a new companion, I think hopefully that's going to be a lot more compelling, because I just never felt... Like, it's not like I didn't like her. I just had no reason to get invested in her. And now that was right, because it turned out that all the stuff that could have been interesting wasn't.
Yeah.
So there.
and Peter Capaldi did confirm that that was her last episode.
Yeah.
So... She's not going to be in the...
And she's going to be in a new show, as I said. You know, she's starring in the young Victoria.
Playing Queen Victoria.
Yeah, which is, I think, going to be a good role, because she's a good actress. Like, it's nothing to do with her. It's just the way that they set her up. And we'll have to see, like, Maisie Williams, obviously, she's still in Game of Thrones, and people are saying, well, is she going to be the new companion? I don't think so, but...
I know. I'd like her more as a John Barrowman type role, where, like, you see her every so often.
Yeah, and she's kind of a villain-ish, you know?
Yeah. And she's young enough where she could play the immortal role longer than John Barrowman could have.
Yeah. I mean, John Barrowman's looking pretty good on Arrow. I don't know.
He looks
younger than ever.
Captain Jack.
So I guess that's all our thoughts on that. But yeah, no, I'm all caught up now and ready for the Christmas special.
Oh, there's still two more episodes.
What? Oh, God. I was so excited.
No, there's still there. Yeah, it's not even the penultimate episode that she died in. There's still two more.
Oh, wow. Well, then that's going to be, I mean, maybe we'll see a bit more of Clara. Maybe he'll visit her when she's a child or something, and we'll get some resolution. But, oh my God, all the stuff we have to watch all the time, and all you want to do is just watch the Civil War trailer over and over again. Life is hard, guys. We have Hot on Hypeable now, and Merrima didn't prepare anything for us, so I'm going to try to wing this, just going on Hypeable and seeing what I can find, because I know that this week on Hypeable we actually had a hell of a lot of exclusive content that I want to make sure we plug. Last week we talked a little bit about the Merlin movie that's happening that's not with the cast of Merlin, and as Pam pointed out, one of our staff members, Karen, this is actually her Merlin, because it's T.A. Baron, the Lost Years of Merlin series, and amazingly she was able to pull an interview with him to accompany this news story released a few days ago, in which, like, she speaks to Baron about the new adaptation. He's so excited that Philippa Boyens from Lord of the Rings is gonna write it. And you should go check that out on Hypeable. Also exclusive is our interview with Claudia Gray, who wrote the Lost Stars YA Star Wars book that was done by Mikhail. Mikhail also went to, because people get to do awesome stuff when they live in America, right, Kyle? Mikhail also went to the red carpet for Jessica Jones and spoke to the cast. You can read that on, it's pretty cool stuff. You can read it on Hypeable. And Brooke, who's one of our writers as well, she got sent a Shannara Chronicles box, which was literally a box of dirt, but there was some cool stuff inside. Shannara Chronicles is a new series, which should make you really excited. Danya, who's also on Hero Hype, is super excited about it. And that's going to be come over at MTV. You can see the great unboxing on Hypeable. And we are still running some Hunger Games articles. The one of the best ones is definitely the one Katie did, which is basically what your favorite Hunger Games character says about you. It's not a quiz. It's literally just like one line for each character. And I don't know if you guys have done this. My favorite character is Finnick. And his quote was, "You laugh at your own jokes." And that is so accurate.
Maybe that's why we get along, because my two favorite characters are Cinna and Finnick, and I feel like we laugh at our own jokes and we laugh at each other's jokes on the show.
Exactly. So it's perfect. Yeah. Who's your favorite character, Kyle?
Finnick as well.
Finnick. All right. Well, then we all laugh at our own jokes. And on Jessica Jones, we have a lot of articles about that show of Unhypeable. One of them is from Danielle, who has put a list together saying how to satisfy your jonesing for more Jessica Jones. And she recommends the comics and Veronica Mars and iZombie. Orphan Black is on there. Alias is not on there, the TV show, which I think you guys would love if you like Jessica Jones, because it's a really good show. And we just had an article published today, I think, saying why the Jessica Jones sex scenes are unbelievably important. So it's very explicit, but very little nudity. And you should go read that if you're into Jessica Jones, I guess. And we have some other, that was by Brooke as well. And just lots of stuff to cover Jessica Jones. So if you watch the show and you wonder where to go from here, maybe you should start by checking out some of the articles we have about it on Hypeable. Now, we're going to wrap up today with listener feedback, and I am going to say that we start with Merima's official reaction. I wanted her to do a call-in, but she doesn't want to do that, so we're going to have to make do with Merima's long, excited rant about it, and I think, who wants to do it? It's really long, so you guys can choose.
I'll do it. It's fine.
Okay, go for it.
So Merima says, "Civil War, holy shit. Okay, so we all know I've been somewhat apprehensive about this movie, and TBH putting Robert Downey Jr. on Kimmel with the beautiful Mr. Evans didn't do much to dissuade me from that. But the trailer, guys, the trailer. The trailer so clearly shows a movie that is about the relationship between Steve and Bucky, not Cap and Iron Man. And yeah, you can make a trailer look like anything you want, but Marvel is very careful with what they show. So that has me very excited. Very, very." And Selena can talk about Sebastian Stan here because he looks fantastic in this.
He does.
So I'll pause for that.
Okay, well, he looks fantastic in this. She's right.
But also the trailer shows a direct continuity from Winter Soldier versus Age of Ultron, which is brill because Age of Ultron was the worst John Ralphio voice. The Natasha and Bucky and Falcon we see in this are all the ones we saw in that movie. So hopefully the Russo brothers are making it like the rest of the Cap fandom and pretending that the Age of Ultron doesn't exist. TLDR.
What does that stand for? I've always wanted to know.
Too long, didn't read.
Okay. That doesn't make sense in context.
Yes, this looks like the Cap I recognize and love from the comics and the MCU Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Cap that Whedon doesn't understand, but who the Russos do. And it's so emotional, and it looks beautifully shot. And it was all about Steve, not stupid Tony. And I am so, 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 so damn excited. This movie might be great.
Okay, so we don't condone the Tony hate on the show. I just want to get that out there. He has his fans, and that's great. But oh my God, yes. Thank you, Merima. So sad you couldn't be on to be excited with us. There's some very good discussion going on in the Hype Facebook group right now about how the moment where Tony goes, "He was my friend," or Steve goes, "He's my friend," and Tony goes, "So was I." And people are saying, "Yeah, but, you know, you can't compare." But that actually worked really well with the type of character that Tony is. I mean, the thing that we're getting from this is that people have faith in the Russo brothers. And that they really believe they're going to do the characters justice. And also, you can almost say, like, no matter how what it ends up, you know, how it ends up, the fact that they're going to do the characters justice is the most important thing. So, yeah. Now, moving on to some other comments that aren't about Civil War. Hard to believe. We do have them. Do you want to get this next one, Kyle?
Yeah, sure. So Haley says it's about Supergirl, and she says, I agree that Supergirl isn't all it's cracked up to be, which is a shame because I really wanted to like it. Playing Take Me to Church over a mother-daughter scene was weird, and I noticed that too. Aside from the Kara/Alex and Kara/Kat stuff, it's all pretty lame. I'm sticking with it for the time being, though, out of loyalty to the Superman shows I watched growing up. Also, I'm very sorry that I'm not Hayley Atwell, but I am English, so hopefully that counts for something.
Yes, you can be our Hayley Atwell. You know, the internet needs a new Hayley Atwell anyway, so this is your chance.
I think the world needs to give Supergirl at least a season and a half.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, because Arrow needed a season and a half. Like, you yourself were like, ah. So, like, I feel like a lot of superhero shows need that extra oomph to get going. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I spent a lot of time last week talking about the fact that I think it's extremely underwhelming. But you're right. I mean, other shows are given a chance to grow in a season to grow into their own. Arrow certainly needed it, so let's hope that Supergirl is allowed the same time to grow. And our next Twitter comment comes from the Lady Ash, who writes, I didn't like Mockingjay Part 2. I felt like it was just the book on screen. I wanted a few surprises, but all the jumps were predictable. I felt the movies before did a good job of being a little different, but this felt like I had already seen it. I agree on deaths being quick and end at bed scene. Oh, I agree on the deaths being quick and that it should have ended at the bed scene, I think is what she's trying to say. And in a few Twitter words. And I never cared for the love triangle. It was obvious Katniss didn't either. Thank you for that comment. We were very positive about Mockingjay on that special. So it's good we get some responses to that. And our final comment from Pam. I like mashed your words up in my head, so it was like Pam and Jenny became Penny.
I did not write this comment, but I will read this comment from Jenny, who also reached out to us via Twitter, and she says, so grateful for At Hypeable Hype's Mockingjay special episode to help me collect my thoughts and feelings together into comprehensible words, not noises. We're really glad we could be there for you, Jenny. That's awesome.
Yes. And thank you so much to all of your comments. Please send in your comments about this week's show. Please send us your thoughts on Civil War. So sad that we didn't have time to get some of them on this show, but I'm sure we'll still be talking about it in a week. And send your thoughts on all the other news stories going on. Tell us what you think about Jessica Jones. On Jessica Jones, if you want to hear, if you watched it all and you really want an in-depth discussion about that show, head on over to Hero Hype, which is our sister podcast, also a Hypeable podcast, where Merrim is actually going to be joining Donya and Caitlin and talking in-depth about that show. So they're going to do a spoiler-free segment at first, I think. I might be wrong. You have to listen and let me know if I'm wrong. But they're going to be talking about, because they've all seen the whole thing, so they're going to be talking about the show as a whole and just really getting into it, which should be great for people who want to, even just, you know, like Jenny, like sometimes listening to a podcast helps you collect your thoughts about, you know, a franchise or whatever. So you can find that on Hero Hype. That's also on hypeable.com, and they are on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, all in one word. Hype is on Twitter as well, at Hypeable Hype, and we are on Instagram at Hypeable Hype. You can also email us, hype@hypeable.com, and you can find us on Hypeable, which is hypable.com. I'm going to go watch the Civil War trailer about a million more times, and I'm going to read all the people's fun interpretations of it, and I think a lot of us will be doing that. I don't know when I'm going to edit this.
The 100 season 2.
Ooh, that is a great alternative. That's like the one thing you could have said that would have been good enough. Yeah. What are you going to do, Pam? Go to sleep?
I'm going to watch Jessica Jones. Some more good. Jessica Jones. Yeah, I'm on episode 6, so.
Ah, me too. Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I guess we'll be talking about more about that next week. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Kyle.
But I can't even say the word. Goodbye.
war just crushed us.
Oh my god, guys, it was so much more Bucky than I thought it was gonna be. And like, I'm a sucker for these types of friendships, and like, the fact that it's like Merlin and Arthur all over again, you
stop,
guys.
Stop.
But it is, though. Am I wrong?
No, you're.
But that's what I mean. This is like the fact that they're putting so much emphasis on this friendship is just like pulling at my heartstrings.
It's doomed to end tragically.
Oh my god, we're gonna have that exact same scene as in the Merlin finale.
No,
you do realize that, right?
Just hold me.
Yeah.
No.
Tell me about like Brooklyn or some shit, and then he's gonna die, and the dragon is gonna come. Oh wait, maybe not. But
you're saying he's gonna be holding Steve, and he's gonna be like,
"Yes,
hey, Steve, remember the streets of Brooklyn."
Yes, and then Steve is gonna be like, "Don't forget who you are. Remember to always be you."
I can see the blue skies.
Yes, and then he's gonna be like, "Take my shield. It's yours now." Okay.
Or he's gonna be like, "Kiss me." Oh.
Oh wait, no. This was like Mirtha, remember?
Yeah. No kissing. No, I love yous.
No. But you can infer that.
Just stay with me.
Yes.
Crying. Ugly cry.
Yes. Oh my god. You guys.
Perfect. So we've written the movie. No need for the Russo brothers.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna break our hearts again because like, and it's so funny, like they know exactly how to break your heart, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Like they know exactly what they're doing. And I'm not even sorry. Like, I'm just, like, just bring it. Just bring all the pain and all the angst and all the beautiful friendships.